Really? Why do you keep booking male comics that are making me straight? Happy fucking happy hour with John Heffron, winner of Last Comic Standing. Everybody, yeah. Look at those fucking blue eyes. Look at them. Look at them.
Look at
fuck them. Look at them.
Look at them. Look. Hey, by the way, if you're thinking, when did you win Last Comic Standing, John Heffron? It was 1974.
No, that's not correct. That's
for those,
incorrect.
Because there's been a lot of people since me. So I just want to clarify. No. It was 1974.
We had Alonzo Bowden on last week, who was fantastic.
He was 75.
But you kicked his ass.
We were on at 74. And then shortly after that.
That's incorrect.
They started doing stuff.
That is incorrect. Please correct the date, sir.
Think about Last Comic, even though I won it. And it was a great period of my life. You know, maybe because I'm having a birthday coming up, and I don't know what
kind of birthday.
That
it doesn't matter because you are stunning. Can I just say,
well, thank
seriously?
I like
you.
This
know
music.
It's a little weird. He looks just like my brother, which is a little. I don't
know. Oh, there we go. The whole way. All right, just took away that.
All right. Sorry.
I actually enjoyed that music.
Wow. Sorry. Go ahead. What kind of birthday coming up?
You ever just have one of those lives where you just do? Okay. yeah. See, I can sell it if they're saying where?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What if you peaked? Ever think about that? Ever just go back in your life?
Are you fucking kidding me? I'm working in my basement. Whatever.
And you think about moments that were you were very successful.
Right.
And
yes.
Are you living?
Do you know how many times I said, do you know who I used to be?
Really? Yeah. So I'm going through one of those.
You.
What if in our business
you are handsome
you never
and
get
romantic?
A swing at the bat again.
You are handsome and romantic and fantastic and funny. Look at you.
Appreciate
look at you.
Come here.
Look at yourself.
It's so funny stuff. While I was on the phone with him when I was trying to book him, you were on an audition, right?
Yes.
tell Steph what you were telling me about your
audition. I don't know what I could say just to make sure. I went on an audition.
Right.
And I travel 40 some billion weeks a year.
Right.
I'm always traveling.
Right.
And then I'm usually home Monday or Tuesday.
Okay.
So like I know there's a billion actors that every time they get an audition, they call their aunts and their uncles. I got a big audition. I sometimes just think this is the biggest inconvenience I could possibly have. You know what I mean? Like, because now for one audition, I'm going to do 4 hours in traffic and then I'm going to go through the gate and they're going to go, you can't be on the lot, but you can park. And then I'm going to feel dumb because I'm not even good enough to get on the lot audition guy. And then I got to park in the street and feed the meter and there's running somebody doing some acting technique. And I'm just like, I just need to get home, do laundry because I'm leaving tomorrow.
Right.
So
you do all that to hear. Yeah, we're going to different directions. It's a totally different direction than you. See, this is your direction and then that's.
Yeah.
The GPS is going that way.
And usually when you audition for something, they have you like you're auditioning for this guy and it's very specific. White guy, late 30s, blah, 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 blah. But when they do the open one, when it's like for one of the Wayans brothers and they go, we're looking for his friend. That guy could be Japanese.
You're like, wow, there's Vern Troyer happening?
Yeah. Yeah. Is that LeBron James? Like now I'm going against like that. So you do have a moment where you just go, why am I even here? And then you don't know how to play it. So now you're just like, I might go down in flames. You know what I mean? Because it's like, especially for, let's say it's a weigh-in show, like, and I'm the only white guy. Like, do you just walk in, say, hey, just like really like overdo it, you know, and be that pandering white guy going, hey, black guys, I can be cool too. Hey, jam on it. Do, jam on it.
They just take you out with one punch.
So if anybody's, you know, even if you're listening, you've never gone audition, but you had like a big sales presentation or a big speech or whatever. However you do that in the shower is probably the best you're going to do. I don't know what it is. I don't know if the water washes off the, you know, your excellence and then you're dry. But
it's fucking awesome in the shower.
Oh, if somebody could just be in the shower with me or immediately afterwards when you're driving home and you go, oh, I completely.
You want to hear my most ignominious moment in show business? Bad. So I had my own late night show in 95. Yeah, Jay had me on because he's like, I don't think it's going to go very well.
Hey, Don, have a
good luck. But,
good with me,
So that's 13 weeks. But I was, you know, on Paramount calling. I was on stage 13, Arsenio's stage. Stephanie Miller show, blah, blah, blah. So got canceled and I'm back.
I love that Affleck you just did right there. But with that music?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It was a Stephanie Miller show, right?
Yeah. Yeah, see? Yeah.
I had a show. It was big time.
It was back in 1936. You know what? Go fuck yourself,
that's
John
what,
Heffron.
No, but that's what you sounded like. If you were to go back, it sounded awesome. Right? I was winning, right? I was winning.
See? I was a contender, see?
Hey, courageous cat.
I was about to beat somebody, see? See?
And then he walked in, right?
What the fuck am I doing?
Then he walked in and everything changed.
Yeah, see? All right, so...
We're at 1995. I'm keeping
track. Whatever, you fucker. Listen,
you guys are loaded. I'll be the sober one. It's all 1995. Right. You have a show.
Can you drive me home?
You're our designated talker. Okay. Oh, okay. So anyway, so then I'm fucking, you're fired.
You're fired.
Merry Christmas. You're fired. So then I'm back to auditioning to play the fourth lead on whatever sitcom. And so I'm in a cattle call line of people on the Paramount lot where my show just was right after it got canceled. So I'm just sitting there reading my sides. Okay.
So they see your parking space. Somebody has to come there taking off the sign with your name on it.
So some tour group goes by. You know, the tour group, like, oh, it's a guy. And they're like, oh my God, it's Stephanie Miller. Look, everybody said, I was like, shut the fuck up and just move along. I'm auditioning here. I got to get in character. Why don't you guys? It's just awful. Awful, right?
As you're just sitting there, as they're taking away all your signage. You're looking at your piece of paper. I can never date my boss. I can never date my boss.
You can hit with
I could never date my boss.
I get hit with the S in Stephanie. Now I have an eye injury like Oprah and
there's
color
somebody,
purple. Yeah. Now I can.
You have some Indian funk swang in your office building so nobody has the bad luck you had in it before. They're like, there's priests out there, rabbis going.
Jay Leno has the best story.
All the spirit out of this. Please.
Jay Leno has the best story, John. He said while he was auditioning, I swear to God, he looked at the casting director and they had his picture and there was an X already across his face before he started auditioning.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Man, could you wait at least till I'm out of the door?
Come on, I can play Woody Allen.
I'll never forget my first audition after the one. It was to play a green M&M and in the commercial. And I'll never forget the casting director was like, came to give me notes after the, you know, my first. She's like, the green M&M is like, you know, it's a sexy, confident candy. I'm like, well, sorry, I've only played the really insecure fucking ones like the Malamars. So is there some sort of adjustment you'd like? Showbiz fucking sucks my ass.
It really does.
Right?
And the audition process is the worst.
Well, we're also, it's also archaic now in the sense where like all the YouTube stars and stuff just completely go, no, we're going to skip all that. And we're just going to go right to fame and get a lot of cash and not do anything you guys from the ancient land did. Look at me. I'm putting on makeup. Whoa, $15,000 a week. And I did a show at the Chicago Improv. And they go, hey, you should come by at 1 p.m. This internet comedian, that's what he was titled, is doing a show.
Okay. What's an internet comedian?
That's what I anyone
can be an internet comedian here. Right. I learned how to use my thing. Here's a joke.
Right. So I show up and I have nothing. I don't remember the kid's name or I would say it. I have zero bad to say about him because, hey, if he found a lane to figure it out, you know, I'm more jealous than I am mad at you. All right. This show, I show up. There was, it seats 600 people. Every show, every ticket sold out. $45 a ticket. The normal comedy club is probably about 15.
Right.
$45 a ticket. 150 VIP tickets sold for $150.
Right.
Kid gets on stage, 15 minutes. He comes out in a onesie, dances to a song, says, who's having a birthday? We should sing to her. Everybody sang happy birthday. He FaceTimed his dad, left. 15 minutes. That was the show. Stood in line. Sold $40 sweaters.
Hang on a second. I got to change my section.
I was going to say that.
Okay. Yeah. So wait, that's bad?
Okay. Yeah.
It's weird, Steph. We're in the same.
Yeah.
Because I was going to just make a.
Yeah, yeah. And that was it. That's the new wave coming.
So, John, you were you won Last Comic Standing, though. You did Tonight's Show.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah.
Hey, John, that was a great set.
I did the Tonight Show three times.
Yep.
Three or four.
Yeah. But then you ended up just like me in morning radio, everybody, but with Danny Bonaducci in the morning, everybody. Okay, so when I got fired from my late night show, they had Danny Bonaducci come take over for the last week of the show was the Stephanie Miller Show starring Danny Bonaducci. So he's like my fucking show business angel of death.
But oh, wow.
Tell me about you.
Wow.
No, but I love him. I love him. You co-hosted with him a very successful radio show.
Mornings with him in Detroit for...
You're a Michigan boy.
4 or 5 years, I think. And then he left and I stuck around for a little bit. And then when I got fired, that's when I went back to LA and got on Last Comic Standing. So it was kind of cool. So it actually, in life-wise, worked out. Because I was in LA before that and I was just eating it at the Improv. I was broke, blah, blah, blah. Went away, did Detroit radio, made a little money. Felt like I would, you know, I was a star.
Yeah, right.
It really wasn't, right. But in Detroit, people knew who I was. So when I came back to LA.
In Detroit, they know who the fuck
is. Yeah, I was going away. I was
fucking garage guy.
Yeah, yeah. So it felt good. But when I was on with Danny, and I would say this.
He's a great guy. I actually love him.
If he was in front of me, I would say this. I'm not talking. You just never knew what Danny you were getting.
Right, right.
So here, like, if you work with somebody or a boss that's kind of a jerk, you, people who are jerks are actually easy to manipulate. Somebody who's got an ego and likes to puff their chest, I know how to work. You can work those people without them knowing. They're actually easy. But with Danny, you would get, you know, that guy, and then you get the nicest human being the next day, he hated you. He had me fired like 4 or 5 times. We got in it, and I've told the story before, and it's in his book, because once again, I have all these horrible stories about him, but yet if he was to call me now and said, I'm in town, do you want lunch? I'd go out with him in a second. So it's just weird. You know what I mean? Like,
that's called marriage.
Yeah. But we got in a fight. We were interviewing Janet Jackson. She was on the phone. And Danny just said the wrong thing. You know, hey, she's performing here and she was at some other place. And she goes, I don't think I'm performing. I'm at this. And he got so mad at our producer that they had the wrong stuff going on.
Right.
The kid with the name was Matt. Danny goes over and starts choking Matt physically with his hands on Matt's, you know, neck and is choking him. So
can I just stipulate? I haven't done that to either of you yet.
No,
right?
Come to that.
I haven't done
no.
I can't do it with this chair, but I rolled over here. And I'm pulling Matt and Danny off of Matt. And then Janet Jackson would stop talking. I'd have to get back to the mic. And then I'd go, what do you like to do when you're in Detroit? And then I would jump back over here again. And every time she would stop, I'd come. I remember the question I asked her. And now we're in a full melee. I get back to the mic and I go, do you eat Pop-Tarts? If so, what kind? And then I'm back over here. So she's like, no, I don't eat Pop-Tarts. And then I remember her answer so well because there was so much craziness. I go, who are you listening to now? I still remember she said Big Pun. I still remember that in the head. So crazy. So during that melee,
right?
I get hit in the back of the head pretty hard. So I saw stars. And then afterwards, everything's fine. I go home. The girl I was dating at the time comes to my apartment and goes, hey, who's the VCR for? And I go, what VCR? She goes, there's a VCR on your kitchen table. I go, it's not mine. She goes, well, who brought it here? I don't know. And then she goes, it has your signature. It's your credit card receipt. You bought that. How do you not know you bought a VCR? And I'm like, I don't remember buying a VCR. So we went to the doctors and I had to
find out why you bought a VCR.
I had a concussion. I had a concussion and I didn't remember leaving the studio. I didn't remember driving home. I didn't remember buying a VCR. And this was mid 90s. So this was actually when people bought DVD players.
Wow.
So Danny hits you so hard, you actually go backwards in technology. Okay, so he owes you for a fucking,
You're like, why did I just buy a goddamn 8-track?
Yeah,
if he wasn't, Danny Bonaducci hit me so hard.
If he wasn't sitting,
couldn't you just get a DeLorean?
Yeah, I would have bought a Betamax or would have, you know, 8 millimeter. And then so now we work for a huge radio company at the time. And maybe about 2 weeks later, I get a letter with just a crazy amount of stock from this company. Just a crazy amount.
Right.
And I was so dumb.
Like, thank you so much for your service.
Yeah.
Please don't sue us.
Thanks for giving us your house.
That's what I thought. I thought, you know what? I am such a good sidekick. The Clear Channel is just throwing cash around. Boy, that remote I did from 6 to 7 at the Shoe Hut must have crushed. Boy, when I called in telling everybody we got some
Q Collectibles. Come on down. I'll be here for another hour. Stop on in.
See, you guys don't know how good you have it. I'll never forget my friend. I had a friend that worked with Don Imus.
Oh,
and he asked once for a sound effect, and the guy goes, "We don't have it." He goes, "Well, shit it." Fantastic. Shit it right now, or you're fine.
Oh, my God. There was, I have that story and then another story. We played at the time, the music format was adult AC. So that meant there was nothing too, if it had too much beat, we weren't playing it because that was too dancey.
Right.
So it's very.
That's faggy.
It's very, yeah. It's.
I worked at a very faggy station in New York, Hot 97.
Oh, yes.
Good morning, everybody.
Yeah.
So we were very dull. So we were very, you know, very, like they actually took George Michael's I Want Your Sex. And they edited it so the song goes, "I want your love," because he says I'm love,
like, but not in a bathroom in Griffith Park.
Yeah. But they
with
took
a woman,
out
with a woman. This,
yeah, they took sex out of the thing. So we were at a Matchbox 20 concert, and
I'm sorry,
me and Danny, yeah, me and Danny. It's 3 a.m. I'm most lonely. So we're walking to our seat, right? It's a big station promotion. We might have even introduced them, right. And as we're walking. Some guy sitting there with his girl and goes to me and Danny, but looks at Danny and goes, "You guys suck. You know, just you guys suck." The dude's probably mad that, you know, his girlfriend dragged him to a Matchbox 20 concert. So Danny goes, What did that guy say? I go, "We rock." Because I know. Rock. Now rock. I'm just like, listen, I want to get done with my appearance because I have buddies that are at other bars. I don't want anything to happen. He said, "You rock." And then the guy goes, "No, I didn't. I said, you guys suck." Bonaduce's shirt comes off immediately. Then he walks down, right? We're at this outdoor amphitheater. He's standing. We're at row JJ. I still remember this. He challenges an entire row of people to come down and fight him one-on-one.
Just, you know what? At a Matchbox 20 concert. You know what I found about him? It did not all come together when mom sang along. Do you know what I'm saying? It did fucking not. Because I did a convention in Vegas with him. We both had Disney shows at the same time. He had a daytime, I had a nighttime, and we were both standing next to fucking cardboard cutouts of ourselves. And I'm like, this is fucking bizarre, man. Like, this is just bizarre.
Well, I remember I did the Channel 9 show when I was on Howard, and I interviewed Danny, and he was incensed with Howard, and he started yelling at Howard, and then he started yelling at me, and he threatened the Billy Jack thing. I'm going to take my left foot,
yeah,
and I'm going to hit you in your right cheek.
The thing about Danny, which I love, and I channel him, anytime I need to get a little aggro or get really mad, I do, not with his voice. I don't start doing that, but his mannerisms and what he would do, I completely do Bonaduce impressions to anybody who I'm about to fight because he is the most intimidating human being. Because
he seems like he just like ate a fucking gravel driveway. Elliott just came on. Like,
Oh yeah, he would talk like this. But he would look at you and he would talk just like this. "You will have bits ready for me in the morning. And that means you stay here all night. When I make show prep, it is written in stone."
Okay, how's everybody feeling about Mama right now?
We love you, Mama.
Thank you.
But I love him. You know what I mean? It's like, it was one of those things. I was 24, I was 25.
He's Joe Rogan light, though.
I don't know. Danny was just, you know? Danny's scar tissue, you know? Like, you can't hurt that guy. He's done so much. He's just not even... Stabbed him, nothing would come out.
Well, right? I'm friends with his ex-wife.
Oh, Gretchen.
Yeah. And they got married on the same night they met.
Right. I remember that.
Because
that.
She wouldn't have sex with him unless they got married. So he called in a pastor to come marry him so he could fuck her.
Yeah, I was afraid of Gretchen, too.
night.
Yeah. You didn't even tell that story.
I feel better about my personal life when we talk about Danny. All right, let's talk about... I love that Phyllis Diller referred to you as the cute one on... That's common sense. See?
Yeah.
You make all women, right?
Yeah, I totally.
Wait, and what's your deal? Are you married? What's happening?
I mean, I've been married for 13, 14 years now. Mm. I just can't help it if I got this.
Okay, women are not going to be happy if you don't know if it's 13 or 14.
I don't know.
You said 12 outside, by the way.
Oh, Jesus.
But does it matter, though? I would figure, like...
Yes!
I don't know if... I don't know if it matters, because... I think, like, marriage points or whatever you get as a husband, at midnight, you lose all those points anyway. You're right. It's not right. Like executive platinum. Those points don't carry over. So you start new the next day. So like people get caught up on how many years. It doesn't matter. That's like saying I was gold on Northwest like in 07. Who cares? Who gives a shit? You're still January 1st. I don't care what your status was then. You're group 4 now. Ass.
So you've been married.
Yeah.
12,
I'm married
13,
today. I'm married today.
Years.
Yeah. Yeah. Got married in 04.
Don't know how many miles, but anyway.
Yeah.
Kids?
I have a wonderful stepdaughter who's in the Air Force.
Okay.
21, married.
Fantastic.
I've known her since she was like six or seven, so I don't get...
Fantastic. You're from Detroit, and you are, and she's from where, and what's the whole deal? You live here in L.A.?
I live here in Los Angeles. Uh-huh. I met my wife in Florida, mm-hmm. kind of a one-night stand that lasted. You know what I mean? She'll admit to it. We met.
Was she a fan?
She was worked at the construction company that built like the comedy club, and I think she was there to make sure the mirrors were to OSHA rules. You know, and then I put that on. I think the comedy club owner said, "Hey, you know, don't hook up with the comics."
Right.
And I swooshed in.
How'd that go? How'd that go for her?
That's my wife.
Wow. Hello. Holy fuck, man. She's gorgeous.
Fuck.
Holy shit.
I'm talking about.
Holy.
Come on.
That's what I'm talking about.
Ring the bell. School's in, sucka.
Almost. Oh, my God. Like, that's like, what's that girl's name?
What?
Fucking girl from Transformers.
Daughter and
Megan Fox.
Looks like Megan Fox.
Yeah. She graduated.
She's got a Megan Fox thing going.
What's happening? Wow. It's like.
She gets a lot of. Who's that? Catherine Zeta Jones?
Yeah.
No, Catherine Zeta Jones and also, what's her name? Blonde that's in all the. Who does she look like?
She looks a little like Melatonin Trump.
Not Melatonin, no.
Melatonin Trump. What was that?
Charlize Theron. That's who she looks like.
She's hot, John.
Yeah, he did okay.
Yeah, I don't wonder why you're still married.
What the fuck? Why aren't they both here? What's up?
Yeah, come on. You guys good. So, yeah. So
that's why he carries it around.
Yeah, sure.
Right. Hey, look.
Oh, just to shame both of us. Look at that.
Underneath her thing. John, why does it say stock photo? Why does it say iStock underneath her?
What does it say getting
into it? Totally my girlfriend, guys. It's totally my girlfriend.
You got it at the frame store.
Yeah, that's
the pre-picture.
Wow, that's hot.
Yeah.
How come they're not with you in that picture?
How come they're not? Because when I bought them, was done.
So how's marriage going for you, Johnny?
Marriage is good. Marriage is what it is. You know what I mean? I think.
Jesus. Send her my way.
I'm trying to find a good.
What?
That's, you know, most women around house like that, right?
You know what? Stop spiking the football. Fucking asshole.
I know. That was a good one.
John knows I could do that too, but I'm currently single, but some of them, okay. All right, so here's what I love. I was reading your Wikipedia about how college crowds love you because you talk about retro music and pop rocks. I fucking love pop rocks, but I totally thought that my head was going to explode. Did you ever eat them with soda?
Yeah, cause
because...
I,
right?
Yeah, and I think that was an urban legend, and that was, you know, that's what I did when I was younger doing stand-up. It always helps to have, like, references that people, but then I get older now, and I still talk about my references, and now 20-year-olds are completely, they stare at me when I'm making reference, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
make the motion like you're rolling down a car window, they look at you like, what are you doing?
What the fuck does that mean?
Yeah, like, and then I just did a show recently where it was, like, crazy young, where they were all in college, and in my brain, I'm like, okay, I'll dust off some of my old college material, so I'm not like the creep, you know what I mean?
Creepy old
Because now I'm at the age where I could be their dads, and I literally, first joke, I'm like, what material did I do when I was like 19 or 20? I'm trying to just remember. And then halfway, as it's coming out of my mouth, I realize I can't do my same material. I can't look at college kids now and go, hey guys, don't you hate it at the end of the month when you and your roommates get your phone bill and you have to go through the phone bill to see who owes what because it's a landline? It's the only, you mean these spirits? You're like, would you go to school on the Mayflower? Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic. It's Wait, you
or even musical references they don't get now, which I'm such a music guy, and I like I love bringing up music, and they just stare at you. And
what's your favorites?
You know,
Grandpa.
Probably, let's see, on an Ambien.
Right.
I've purchased eight soft rock hits of the 80s.
I like it.
There's some good stuff on there.
Like Power Ballads, fantastic.
Knights in White Satin. Of love, but on the two of us will hold
Knights in White Satin? Let's do it.
Just once, find a way to make it right. That's the song, right? Make the magic last for more than just one night. These dreams are going when you go outside.
Oh, heart. Now
this is hard. This is hard. This is hard.
Or is that 70s? I was thinking about that. That my age is the last group that ever was forced to listen to music that their parents listened to. Because like the Walkman kind of came in like midway through. So before that, you would have to. So there's all that dad rock. That was thought they should make an infomercial. Remember that? Like, she like a rhinestone cow. Hey, won't you play another somebody loves somebody wrong song? Have you happened to see the most beautiful girl in the world?
Buy it on Kate.
Oh, Rob and I sang that to my ex in the car. That was sad. Okay.
But kids today, though, like you talk about that to them, and you know, I just know that that's how they remember me. Like 20 years from now, they're going to be pushing their music on kids. You know, go, oh, my music was awesome. Like, I can't feel my face when I'm with you. Maybe I'm sorry. More than just your body.
We always used to call like 70s, like 70s wuss rock, right? Guys were very, it was okay to be really whiny in the 70s, just right? Just, if a picture paints.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. The 80s.
Oh, Jesus, you fucking pussy. Jesus Christ. No, the 80s, oh, a dick.
The 80s was worse. Like, don't pay the ferryman.
What? What does that mean?
You never heard that song? No. Don't pay the ferryman.
I think the best era, as far as like a 90s R&B, like if you go back to listen to that day, that was some good stuff. Because they told you what to do, like why you're doing it. And it was very, you know, I want to know what turned you on. From the bottom of my heart is true. You know? Close to me just like my mother, close to me just like my sister, close to me just like my brother.
Most of the songs that were way too long, like the stories, right? Like Wreck of the Emin Fitzgerald. What the fuck? And then another thing happened, and then this went on, and then this is going to last for 45
Look,
minutes.
I love.
And then also, guy said to a guy, Jesus fucking Christ, what the story?
I love Stevie Wonder, but on New Year's Day, October sun, I just called to say, you know, I'd be like, when the fuck are we getting to the end? When is December coming in here?
Jesus. Did you hear Ted Cruz trying to sing that?
Oh, did he?
Oh, so off-key. This is what I call and say to my wife. I'm like, oh, if I'm your wife, I'm already like, can somebody reject their own vagina from their body like a bad kidney? Because I would just be like, I don't have a vagina anymore. I'm so sorry. It's just gone now.
But he was saying, I just
called to say, you know what? I just grew a dick. I'm so sorry. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. That is
what
wow.
would drive me more crazy than him. I wonder if his wife at any point goes, is there any way you can learn the song? You're not even doing it. I just called to say, I love you. Like, he doesn't even, it's not even how it goes. It's not the right phrasing. You're just making it up. Somebody in the back room said, hey, they're going to find out you're a gay vampire. Here's an adult love song that human beings shared to one another. If you don't keep throwing these references out, they're going to know that you're a gay vampire. Allegedly, I don't even know any.
He does
gay
look
vampires.
Like a gay vampire. I'm sorry.
Every time I see Ted Cruz, I think this guy should have been on True Blood. One of those guys are, because you know we all know the more anti-gay you are, the more gay you are.
Oh
yeah, like, and nobody.
Yeah. He's like Ed Grimley.
Yeah, and at one point do people like realize?
He's
that?
Like, I must say, I want to suck your blood.
Yeah. Yeah. Weird. Yeah. I don't get it. I don't. Yeah. You know. Even Rubio. You know. He threw back some ecstasy at some foam party somewhere, you know? Calling Mr. Vader, calling Mr. Wrong, calling him insane. I know what I want, I want it now. I was blue, I was beat, I was down.
He has those fancy high-heeled man boots. I just picture him dancing to Miami Sound Machine. I just do. I picture a little.
I can see him celebration day. Come on.
No, you know.
No, I think
you know
he
walked in
at
some place. You know, he was like, wait. Now nobody's gonna know I'm here, right? No, dude, you're totally fine. Because I might totally run for president in like 10 years. No one's gonna know. I'm gonna be really anti-gay, but I just no. You're fine. You're fine. Are you sure no one's gonna know it's me? Just relax, man. Just relax.
Just relax. Just fucking relax, man. The rhythm is gonna get you. Just fucking relax.
Yeah, just relax. I'm scrolling. That was the first song that came up. I had a lot of different options.
Wow, that was
weird.
I
think
that
one.
That was fucking weird, dude. Okay.
No, are you sure no one's gonna know? Are you sure?
I'm sure.
By the way, all this music that I'm playing for you is what I used to have to play every morning.
Why?
Because that's what we played on our station. So,
oh, okay.
So I'm very any boy band. I heard that every morning.
Oh, me too.
New Britney.
I'm like, Boyz II Men tickets coming up, everybody. Hot 97.
Yeah.
Hour and 7 in the morning, everybody. And here's a little Betty Boo doing the do. Here we go.
Little Mbop. That was my era.
Oh, Mbop.
Hanson.
Mbop. Hanson.
I like that guy. I like those guys.
John, yeah. You also are an entrepreneur. You invented the guy game, a board game. Tell us about the guy game.
That was way back in the day. It was a card game we came up with on air when I did radio. I moved back to L.A. and we went. There's a little place in Larchmont Village. It's like this trendy, little place. It's a couple stores. So we gave this woman this deck of cards and go, can you sell this at your thing and da da da. She goes, yeah, sure. And it's a game on every card would be a different type of guy you'd see out. Right. So you'd pass out the cards, you'd go out, and then you had to find big gut, skinny legs guy, sweaty dancer guy. And then for some, just Drew Barrymore bought the game, and she was like an in-style playing it.
So did Julia Roberts. And
Julia Roberts. Right? So we had Glamour Magazine did a full
Drew Barrymore
full page.
Became the shit, man.
Yeah, and in Glamour Magazine, there's a huge... one full page with our game. It had the cards with the celebrity it matched up to. Now we this was like pre-internet where you could like fulfill stuff, you know, so we were sticking the cards in a envelope and writing down people. It was a pain, and then it just got too much work and we stopped. I would have been a millionaire with that. I would have crushed it.
I could have been a contender.
Yeah, we were selling so many.
I could have been somebody.
Yeah, we were selling so many of those games, and it just got to be such a pain to load them. This is like, now there's companies that would have done it for us, but, you know, we had to go out.
Let's probe you a little deeper without lube.
Okay.
Now, you're from New Jersey. What kind of family? How many siblings? What's your deal? What's your fucking deal, dude?
What's my deal? Here's my deal. I have two. I have a brother and sister. Grew up in Michigan.
Okay. What? Okay. What's what? Your birthday's coming up. Is what?
I will be 46.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be that.
Dr. Harfahar, what?
You'll be 46.
Dr. Harfahar.
Yeah. No, 45.
Oh, 40,
yeah.
You're fucking hot. You're fucking 46, hot.
46. 45. 46.
Hot. Yeah. Same with
what
me.
Happens? When can I start doing stuff to my face? When do you not, as a guy? Like, I was thinking about this. Like, my eyes are, like, just look. I know sleep would
pop. You
want
to look a little more surprised? A little more like, oh, my God, John Melendez. Good to see you.
Guys can't.
I haven't seen you in a while. Wow.
Guys can never.
It's Tuesday? Wow, it was just Wednesday yesterday.
What? What? Yes, yeah, I can never do that, right? I just get old.
No, you're hot. You don't need fucking anything. Trust me. I would blow you when I'm gay.
What about stem cells?
Right?
What about stem cells? Can I just rub them all over my face?
He has some, and so does he. They're like 14
years
old.
Yeah, these guys are like
kids. Listen, I'm breaking every. Breaking every child labor law. I don't fucking care.
You
don't care. They're like, I just took them out of high school.
Yeah, in 2 hours, he's making sneakers.
Exactly. The fuck do I care? There's no rules here.
Johnny, so are you happily married?
I'm happily married.
So everything's
oh
going
God,
good.
Look at you going back to your just. I want to hear more about his childhood. You fucking.
No,
perv.
I just want to know. I mean, how often are you? Everything's good.
Everything's good. Was he trying to set me up for something?
No.
She's hot. She was also in the first season of the America's Toughest Jobs, which I assume is not referring to your being married to you.
Oh, hey.
But
yeah, she. You know what's so funny about that? Here's the drive that my wife has. She goes, I think this was right after Last Comic, and I don't know if we were arguing about something. Well, she goes, I'm going to go. I'm going to get on a TV show and da-da-da, so you can. I forgot even what our little, it was like a spat, but it wasn't a crazy mean thing going right on. So I go, yeah, okay, go do that. Like, you can just go and
fine.
Get on
like
one.
You're going to get on a show.
Go,
oh.
Yeah,
oh, go. You got on a show.
So I left somewhere. That's exactly what happened. I left. I came back. She goes, oh, yeah, I have to do legal for this commercial I'm shooting.
The show.
I go, what commercial are you shooting? when did that happen? She goes, I booked a Kellogg's commercial. Like, how the shit did you get a national commercial?
I can't get it.
Out of spite, okay, you just booked a national commercial?
John, I'm just saying, I saw her picture. Here's my advice, dude. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Go shoot.
You know what?
Let her do
when
what
you
she
wake
wants.
Up, listen to me. When you wake up and you have a cup of shut the fuck up, you know what you have for lunch? You have another goddamn shut the fuck up. And then for dinner, instead of wine, here's what you have. You have another cup of shut the fuck up.
So what happened? How'd you get the show?
She went on audition. Got it. And then she auditioned for this NBC show called, it's a guy who did like Ice Truckers, Deadliest Catch. They had a reality show where everybody did those jobs.
Right.
So she got a truck driver's license, was on. She did everything, monster truck pull, like all that stuff. So she gets on this show as a reality show, and she almost wins that thing. But I was like, how the hell do you just get mad at me, book a thing, and get on that and NBC? Like, how was you?
Listen, love's a bitch, man.
Yeah. It was pretty amazing. And then she got done. She goes, yeah, I never want to do that again. I was just mad at you.
No, I know. No, it's a rule, right?
Why didn't you go, you know what?
I've showed you your ex is always 10 times hotter. You're like, after
I wish
like,
you
really?
Were right. You know what? Oh, you don't think I've become a neurosurgeon? You don't think so?
Yeah.
Watch this. Yeah. That would have been nice. I wouldn't have had to work the road 46 weeks a
year.
Yeah,
but you like the residual checks.
Yeah. I don't even know where this goes. Yeah. But that's how she did it. And we've been in LA ever since. And now we're, you know, planning our exit poll. I think, does that happen? I mean, you have a wonderful house
thank you.
Here and stuff. But I think about leaving a lot.
Like, leaving for where? Where?
I think
where
I'm
are
reaching
you going?
The, I don't know. I want a lot of property, and I'm going to get one of those tiny houses and put it in the middle of the lot of property. And I'm going to have one long driveway with dirt so I can hear the truck coming.
Right.
And then I'm going to have it marked where when I get in my sniper tower, I know how many yards out you are. And that's a complete honest thought in my head.
Right.
There's
right.
nothing I'm trying
Listen,
to be funny
you're
about
not
a bunker.
Crazy, paranoid motherfucker at all. I think that's a perfectly valid plan.
Yeah.
And
but is
what,
is that
well,
normal
here's the
for
thing.
You? Do you
if,
know other people
listen,
my
if
age?
Donald Trump
I,
wins, like we're all fucking going to like I'm like I'm
that
like,
place in Canada.
I'm like,
have you looked
hey,
at that
Siri,
place?
Hey Siri, how do we all move to Canada tomorrow?
What do you think about Trump, Johnny?
Every once in a while, he says something where you go, you know,
yes!
that guy's totally on it. Like, I believe, and then he'll say something else where you go, what the, but what other, like, I'm not overly political, but our choices are, we have zero choices. Like,
well,
zero.
No,
there's nothing.
I don't think
well,
so.
Well, no, we are a big Hillary
We're big Hillary fans
and
here.
And Bernie fans.
And Bernie fans. But I'm just saying, no, because he, literally, you're like, Bush is a war criminal, and he, like, yes, 9/11
Well, here's
happened.
What I think about, like,
yes!
Trump, like,
but
super
then you're
Trump
like,
people.
Wait a minute, what the,
is
huh?
They all
Did
just
he
completely
say?
Left. Suddenly, oh, Glenn Beck's horrible. Like, didn't you guys all love him, like, a second ago? And now you're in the, yeah, exactly what he said in the war. And the only thing that's, not the only thing that scares me about Trump is his crowd is very fighty. So when he keeps saying, punch that guy in the face, that guy should leave in the stretcher.
Right.
Those guys do it. So
right.
I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
They're also 60-year-old men.
Listen,
John
speaks to someone who's been punched a lot.
Yeah. So it is kind of scary.
Well, no, he's definitely scary. And it'll be scary.
No, it's lynch mob. It's lynch mob time at his rallies. It is Hitler time. It is terrifying.
Like, you see those
like
pictures?
Today I listened to something I thought,
he said, bring somebody
really
out in a stretcher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other one is there's those people protesting, but the kids were sitting there with just a sign. They weren't saying anything.
Right.
And people start grabbing the sign and kind of like getting in their face. Isn't that?
No, and the guy
go,
that he was
going to
punch. He said he was throwing punches. He wasn't throwing
no,
punches.
He wasn't
right?
Throwing
he was just
punches.
Protesting.
No.
He's like, oh, he's throwing punches. I'd like to punch him. You should punch him. I'm like, he wasn't doing anything except protesting. Right?
I'm so confused.
Well, that's in New York, and I'm like, you know, you had that New York bravado, but it doesn't, I mean, God, it's a little crazy. He's sounding like a fucking mobster at this point.
And, and it's the other candidates are like, well, God told me to, that scares me. I'd be way more comfortable if somebody going, no, this big corporation totally wants me to be it. Okay, I will accept that over God told me.
John, you
I'm
and
more
I are,
comfortable.
You and I are from New York of a certain era, and I'm like, really? It's like John Gotti for president, yeah, right?
That's what it's like.
Hey, fucking guy, fucking kill the fucking guy. What a fucking hello. Yeah, John Gotti for president, everybody.
Steph, did I ever tell you this story? Johnny, you'd love this. I'm having dinner with John Gotti Jr. because we were producing the Gotti film, you know, that John, you know, the John Travolta's going to be. I'm having fucking dinner. I'm sitting right next to John fucking Gotti. John Gotti Jr. I fucking pull up, you know, the chicken parm, and I splat it down on my plate, and all the sauce goes all over his jacket. And he goes,
bam, blam.
And he goes, do you realize you just spilled sauce all over my fucking jacket? I was like, I'm sorry, Mr. Gotti. I'm sorry, Mr. Gotti. You thought I was stuttering fucking... He's like, you know, in the old days, we take you back and fuck around with you for a little while.
Oh my God.
That's what Trump is. Trump
right.
is that
Trump
guy.
Is that
he's
going
to hey, let's take him out and stretch him.
Hey, Putin, be ashamed if something was to happen to your fucking wife go like a fucking bag of vipers fell on her.
And if the money's there in the morning, then I know I have a partner. The money's then I know. That's it. Like... Those guys are, if you ever met any, like, old school mob guys.
Oh, shit.
Like, my mom used to, she's passed, but my mom used to date a lot of those guys in Detroit. Like, those, I remember as a little kid going to the Blind Pigs, like, as my biggest scam that I got over the mafia. Here's where I, John Heffern, got over the mafia. It's okay to say now, because I don't think anybody's right.
No, the stipulation.
Just fuck those fucking pussies.
So, we would go to the horse tracks, right?
Oh, my God,
right?
I'm so sorry.
She said it, not me. We would go to the horse track, right? I'm like a little kid, maybe, well, whenever Star Wars came out, so I'd say I was about 10. Right. These guys were all very mobby, would always give me like a $100 bill. Go bet, just pick some numbers at the horses and go. They just want me away from this little secret room that all these people, because they're gambling big. So I would walk around the horse track by myself. I'd go up to the counter and I bet and stuff. Then we'd get in the car later that day, and my mom would always look. She would just stare at me, and I would just stare right ahead. And then she would go, how much money do you have in your pocket? I'm like, I don't have any money. Yeah, you did. You lost all the money because I kept going back to those guys. Lost it all. This guy, what are you doing? I bet it all on 7. Look at this kid. No, man, spread it out. Hey, Marilyn, that's my. He spends money like you. He just thinks that he just grows on trees. Blah, blah, blah. So I would go. She'd go, how much money do you have in your pocket? Like, all the time. And I would hold out for as long as I can. And then I'd reach into my corduroys. You know what I mean? Like, you know, my corduroys. And I would pull out, like, I had all these things because I would bet, like, you know, $2-3 or whatever, and then get $90 or $95. That was my rule, and hide it. And then my mom would go give it to, and then she'd count it out, and then she would give me half, and then she would take half. And then I'd go, well, we'd go into Toys R Us.
A VIG?
And then, yeah, she took a VIG. That was our scammer run. And then I would go to Toys R Us and buy, like, Star Wars guys and action figures with that money. And then she'd always go, you see Big Bob Blasio, don't tell him about this. You tell him you lost it.
Oh, that's such a charming all-American home on Frank. I remember my friend. I have a famous actress friend who told me when she goes, when I ever have to cry in a movie, I just think of Detroit. Oh. Because I hear Marvin Gaye, what's going on? What's going on?
I remember once that this guy, those mob guys, I forgot how old I was at this time, maybe 12, 13 years old. And they had, I think, cannolis. And the guy goes, hey, he goes, take a cannoli. And I go, nah, I'm good. Or no thanks. And he goes, did I fucking ask you?
I said, drop the gun, take the cannolis.
Yeah, yeah. Did I ask you?
Drop the fucking gun, take the cannoli.
Do you like a cannoli? I said, take the cannoli. So I just grabbed it, and I was like, yeah.
John, thank you.
That was the scary
thing.
John Gotti Jr. cooked pasta for us once with seafood. And I said, look, I'm allergic to, like, shellfish. I'm allergic. He goes, you're going to eat it.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
My God, here's John's head blown up like balloons.
I will. Yeah, I will.
Yeah, that's funny.
I love that only John Melendez could go to dinner with a gangster and die of an allergic reaction instead of a gunshot.
Hey, John, I don't like cheese. I don't give a fuck.
I wonder if that's, you know, there's so many food allergies now. I wonder if that's how mob guys do it. Hey, you eat the peanut butter sandwich and nothing else happens to your family. I can't eat the peanut butter. Eat the peanut butter sandwich.
I gotta say, this would be the perfect funeral for you. As funny as you are, it would kind of be. Sean Melendez died earlier today. John got his nose, not of a gunshot, but of a shrimp allergy. See, I remember once I was running on the beach in Malibu. I came around the thing and there was like a baby seal. And I almost thought like, oh my God, almost like, and I thought like, if I was clubbed to death by a baby seal, that would be a fantastic funeral. Stephanie Miller was clubbed to death by a baby seal in Malibu. Come on. You want that Chuckles the Clown funeral where people are just like, oh, that's funny. Okay, there's some fart joke or something. Like, oh, it's so sad.
Oh, God. This is so much fun. He's great.
You are fucking fantastic. What's not great about you?
There's a lot of things.
Don't show us any pictures of your hot wife again, fucking asshole. Legs.
Holy
I'm not
fucking
good with money.
Shit.
How can we follow you? What can we do for you? What can I fucking do for you, John Heffron?
Let's see. Follow me. You can go on Twitter at John Heffron, JohnHeffron. You can always do that. You can go to johnheffron.com. I think I updated that in 2008, so this
fantastic.
Should be dates.
Fantastic. What pictures of your hot wife?
You can go. I was trying to think of
Go ahead.
I was trying to think of a good music bed to.
Oh, okay.
I love talking up posts and stuff. Okay. It's weird.
Because you were in morning radio, everybody.
Facebook's
was hard for me because I'm a stutterer, and I would see a 7-second post, and I'd be fucking terrorized.
Oh, that's
Bush. Here comes some voice to men.
His punch.
You are a delight, John Heffron.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me.
Please follow John at Twitter. Follow his, see him live. Look at him.
Yeah,
look at
please,
him.
Please.
Get your face up, and it's so handsome. Yes. It's so romantic, so funny, so smart.
I'm wearing essential oils. I smell like peppermint.
Love you, baby.
Love you guys.
Fucking happy hour.
Yeah, there you go.